In R.A. Kaplan's Immortality and Resurrection and Age of the Universe, page 106 at the bottom. Resurrection of the Dead and the Nature of Life After Resurrection. Oh, because we talk about two types of resurrection, what it could look like, right? From the bones out or from the out into bones.
Yes.
Talked about those two different paradigms.
Right.
Like the dry bones, bones could come together and then it could grow flesh on top.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be like the fetus, where it's first a blob of mushy stuff and then you get bones on the inside. So two different ways.
How does it
right?
work? Yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about how does it work at Tepetsumese?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. However, the belief that the body will return to life is very difficult for man to comprehend, not because of its supernatural nature, for after all, the Holy One, Blessed Be He, says, is anything impossible for me, says God? Is God's ability limited? And as our sages noted, if that which never has been brought into being certainly... That which never was has been brought into being. Certainly something which has already existed will come into being.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so if you can create something out of nothing, how hard is it to recreate something that was?
Right. And I think about when he says, and my arm is not too short.
Where did you see that?
I'll have to look it up.
Please clear that. Please make some actual bodies come back to life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a clear part of our belief.
Is my arm short? No.
Yeah. In the case of Mason, that there's an actual resurrection of the dead. People get up. And is it that the graves open and people walk out of them? That doesn't seem to be so clear, 100%. I mean, I think people talk about that.
People talk about rolling carriages as well.
Yeah, and they talk about that too. What does that mean?
Right.
Is there an actual rolling? So I think there, and especially when you add in the complicating factor of reincarnations, like which body has which soul and stuff like that.
Right. Joey's good. What will I come back as? Right.
And Chabad talks about, and I'm sure this is from somewhere in Kabbalah, that the resurrected body will be at age 19.
Really?
Yeah. So what does that mean?
What is that?
Age 19 is just your strong, beautiful stage. You know, like let's say, you know, you put somebody who's 106 into the ground. Like really, do they really want to come back? They're going to have a hard time getting out. Like, oi. You know?
Right.
So nobody's really looking forward to getting out with their broken hip and their whatever it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get up at age 19, it just means that you're healthy and strong and beautiful and everything's working nicely as it does at 19. You're already fully coordinated.
Are there relationships then?
19 is like your peak of health. So that's why it's not... All these things are just things to hear and not to take literally at all, right? So you're not supposed to think... 19, oh my gosh, she's supposed to be a mother of somebody, but her kids aren't even going to know her because they're going to be a pack of teenagers together. No.
Right. It's a metaphor.
It is a metaphor for getting up in strength and vigor and a knowledge of who you are, and the relationships are going to be different. It's not the same. We're not getting up the same way.
Soul is not the same necessarily.
It is the same soul, but it's not in the same body necessarily. So the body is, it's not about that. You know, like it's not... I mean, I think about when somebody said you'll get to know Rivka, you know, in the next life. It's not that she'll be your baby, but that soul is part of your circle.
Right.
And so you'll get to know that better or understand that better, right? So it's not that you're going to then get to give her a bottle, you know. But it's that there's an orbit of closeness, an attachment. The souls are there. They're in relationship with each other. So if it was a great-grandmother, if it's a baby, if it's an aunt, if it's a neighbor, there is a soul connection. You don't know if that person who's your neighbor now was your great-grandmother then, right? But they had something else that they needed to fix up through their relationship with you, Clarice, with us. Like, who knows what she needed to do with us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Our next-door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
She was great. Is great still, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
She used to tell us, she taught us how to blow our noses,
zip
up our coats when we go outside, put on a hat,
it would drive
her in a ponytail.
I hear she's probably in her 90s now, so she was, of course, raised as a child before antibiotics. It would drive her nuts that I let the kids out of the house with their coats open or wet hair or bare feet on a rainy day to run around. She was there, and she'd see the bus coming back from school. She'd come over through the back door when they were coming in the front, and she'd greet them in the kitchen with me there too. But she'd like, okay, children, time to wash your hands. You have to wash your hands with soap. You get off the bus, wash your hands with soap. And any kid who would sniffle a little bit, she'd teach them how to blow their nose. She was like, don't sniffle.
One side first, second side.
Right?
Blow is
so funny.
It's hysterical.
Yeah, she was great.